Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Que Dios te bendiga y te continúe usando grandemente la obra en este tiempo final.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. May God bless you and continue using you greatly in the work at this end time, in our age and in our dispensation, the dispensation of the kingdom. Greetings to you, to your wife Ruth, and all the ministers gathered there in the city of Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico, in the congregation that the Reverend Luis Gomez del Bosque pastors, and all those who are connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8, and other means of communication. Today, Sunday, April 14th of this year, 2024. Greetings to the brethren who are visiting us from different countries. May God bless you greatly. You were already introduced. May God bless you. And take greetings from everyone over here to your congregations. Mr. Francisco Guerra and his wife Norma, it is a privilege to have you here from the city Victoria, and also the Reverend Jose Luis Maldonado and his wife Flor. May God bless you greatly. For this occasion, we have the subject, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Antichrist, preached on May 8, 2011, here in Calle, Puerto Rico. And he read to us the scripture of 1 John, chapter 4, where he tells us the following. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ, there in Jesus Christ, he writes the Logos. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Now that applies to his second coming as well. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that he should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of God and the spirit of the Antichrist. You may please be seated. He tells us in the book of Ezekiel, on chapter 28, verse 1 and on, it says, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. There he writes, 2 Thessalonians 2. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can't hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By the great wisdom and by the traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man, and no God, in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest of the tomb, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the esmerald, and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of the tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of the brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and will bring thee to ashes upon the earth, in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Here he shows us in the king of Tyrus, that is, he's referring the devil, which in this message, the trajectory of the birthright and the heir, the son of the free woman, the trajectory of the birthright and the heir, the son of the free woman, preached on May 13, 2001 in Villahermosa, Mexico. Our brother William tells us, speaking about that scripture, here in the king of Tyrus, the devil is being reflected. The devil, the covering cherub, that archangel who was in heaven. And now, we can see the way that God shows what happened in heaven with that archangel called Lucifer. who is now called devil, Satan, or Lucifer. Notice, what happened in heaven now happens with a king who is anointed by the devil, and the devil is reflected through him. That king is a reflection of the devil, a king inspired by the devil, where the devil made this king feel all the things that he feels. And the way that the devil acts was the way that the devil made this king act. Now, that is one of the ways in which the devil manifests himself, reflects himself, and acts on earth. It is the act of Satan expressing himself through a king, through a person. Now, we can see that here it is also reflecting what the manifestation of the devil at the end time will be through the Antichrist, the man of sin. Therefore, this king is a prototype of the Antichrist, of the man of sin, in whom the devil will be incarnate in all of its fullness. Therefore, the devil's desire, the devil's wrath, the devil's anger, and the whole way that the devil is, will be expressed through the Antichrist, the man of sin. In the Book of the Seals, on page 309, it tells us, 309, it says, so, if he is the Word, and his name is the Word, then the Word is life. The Antichrist, anything anti, is against. So anti is against the Christ, the Word. So it's got to be a creed or a denomination which is against the Word. Why, I don't see how you're going to miss it. If you understand it, how could you miss it? I don't know how you're going to. And that's true. Anti is against. Is that right? Take away from. That's what he was. He's riding his mixed up horse. We see it right here in the Word of God. We've seen it right there in the seven church ages. Here he brings it right back in the seals. Open up and showing them things that went on under the church ages. Anti is against the Word. See why creeds, why we are so against the creeds and denominations? Because they are against the Word, see? Here we see life and death coming to the final struggle. The white horse of true life, the pale horse of mixed creed. They see the thing coming to a real showdown. At the top he writes, the original color equals white. And on the right of that paragraph he writes, the showdown. Now, I want to say something here. You might not believe this, but I looked it up to be sure. There is only one original color, and that's white. Anything else is mixed. Christ is on a solid white, unadulterated word from the beginning. Amen, amen. Every color would be white if some chemistry hadn't broke into it. Amen, glory. Every church would be standing on the apostolic doctrine of the Word of God, and God confirming it. And God confirming it. If he didn't have creeds or denominations mixed into it, there you are. I feel good right now. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Only one original color. That's white. It never mixed with denominations or creed. No, sir. And remember, His saints are clothed in white robes. There he writes above that, white robes equals the Word. White robes equals the Word. His saints are clothed in white robes, not mixed with denominations and creeds. Now we find out the denomination creeds, here is where you get your mixed color. But this is the original color. He is writing, the original color is on his people. And they've been dipped in blood that cleansed that garment and send it right back yonder. Because we have been cleansed with the blood of Christ. Those that mixed turn pale and go to death. When a person is ill, typically they become pale and their eyes turn yellow. That is a sign of some sickness. It is a perversion to mix colors with white. You pervert the original color. That's right. If the original color, only color, is white, and you mix something with it, you pervert its real cause. Amen. Is that right? And when, if he is the white horse, and he is the Word, then to mix anything with that, any kind of creed, add one word to it, take one word away from it, is to pervert the whole thing. Oh my, keep me with the Word, Lord. There on the side he writes upward, adding to the Word of, and he writes, it's a creed. That is of God. He didn't finish it. Adding to the Word of is a creed. Truth and error, oh my, no matter how good that is, truth and error cannot mix. It cannot mix. It either does saith the Lord, or it's wrong. No matter what Holy Father saith, say Bonifer or the Archbishop of Canterbury, I don't know who said it, if it is contrary to the Word, it's perversion. It won't mix. Say, why, this fellow done, I don't care what he done, how much holy he is, or anything like that. This is the only direct truth that we have. No church, no creed, has no truth, if it is outside of this. And show me one that's got it. Just, I want you to tell me. I turn a page in the Bible and show you something, see? Just call the one, you say, Pentecostal. Oh my, I just cut that thought from somebody there. That's the reason I said that. Better leave it alone right now, because I seen that started a sore spot right there. I didn't want to hurt you, but I just wanted you to know I know what you was thinking about, see? Those that mixed turn the anti to death. They turns the death color when you mix any kind of anything with the original. It is like Christ said about the mustard seed, yet it is the smallest of all seeds, but it won't mix with nothing. Mustard won't mix. It's genuine mustard. So if you just got that much of faith, you hold to it. He writes the mustard seed there in the middle, between those two paragraphs and the one I am going to read. There he writes the mustard seed. Life followed rider on white horse, who was the Word, life, vindicated by his resurrected saints that he had with him. Now, How is the battle going to go? Jesus said, He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, If you believe in me, though you were dead, yet shall you live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He that believes in me, he will give him an eternal life. And he writes, in a body. On top of eternal life, he writes, in a body. Rise him up at the last day. That's his promised scripture. Here comes Satan with all four corners of the earth, with his Protestants and with his Catholics, and all together marching right up to the battle of Armageddon. And there he writes, Armageddon. All right. And here comes Jesus coming down from heaven. And there he writes, from heaven. Sixth dimension. With resurrected saints, vindicated word. I said, if God speaks or sends you, he backs up what you say. He back up. And he writes, Moses and Elijah. See, notice, if you're an ambassador from heaven, all heaven is behind you. And heaven is consisted of the Word. Above the Word, he writes, Theophany. Notice now, he comes with the resurrected saints, and there he writes, Moses and Elijah. Above he comes, he writes, Moses and Elijah. Now remember that all of this has the fulfillment there. After that judgment in the sixth dimension. In other words, the judgment of the sixth dimension will take place before the resurrection, because they are waiting there for the coming of the Lord. And since they are waiting for the coming of the Lord there, to then come to earth, that has not yet happened in heaven. The person they are waiting for has not arrived there yet. Because when that person arrives there, there will only be left 3.5 days. And that has not happened with any messenger that had gone there. The messenger who is going to go there is the messenger that was previously on earth, fulfilling Revelation 11. See? In other words, the one who has the ministries of Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, the seventh seal. By him going there, then the resurrection will take place. And this scripture here shows us that battle of Armageddon, which when you read Revelation 11, there you see that this confrontation takes place. And if you put it together with Revelation 17 and Revelation 19, there you see all the angles in which that showdown will be fulfilled. But before that, there will also be a confrontation, a showdown. Look at the different moments when these scriptures are fulfilled. On page 209 in the Book of the Ages. Page 209, where he says, it says there, But there I was caught up, and I looked back to see my wife, and I saw my body laying there beside her. Then I found myself in the most beautiful place I have ever seen. It was a paradise. I saw throngs of the most beautiful and happiest people I have ever seen. They all looked so young, about 18 to 21 years of age. There was no gray hair or a wrinkle or any deformity among them. In other words, no one was disabled or anything. The young women all had hair down to their waist, and the young men were so handsome and strong. Oh, how they welcomed me. They hugged me and called me their darling brother, and kept telling me how glad they were to see me. Imagine when they come over here, how glad we will feel to see them again. They will pass on that gladness to us. If they got happy when they saw Brother Branham, I can imagine when Brother William arrived there. How will it be when they come back here? It will be something very glorious. It will be an inexplainable joy. What Paul spoke about, what Job said, you will call, I will answer. Hey, I am seeing all those scriptures fulfilled in my loved one. Here he is. You're here again. And they will say to us, we will never be separated, ever. It will be a gathering that will last forever. One of the gatherings we will never forget. Like when somebody goes on a trip. You get sad because he's going on a trip. And you're longing, he leaves today, and let us say he comes back in a month. You're already counting down the days for his return. And on the plane, well, see you later, we're about to take off. When are you coming back? He hasn't left yet and you're already waiting for his return. Because when the person comes back, that is a glad day. That is how it will be with the resurrection. That is why he says on page 428 of the seals, he says, that glad day. As I wondered who all those folks were, one beside me said, they are your people. I was so astonished, I asked. Are all these Branhams? He said, no. They are your converts. He then pointed to one lady and said, see that young lady that you were admiring a moment ago? She was 90 years old when you won her to the Lord. I said, oh my. And to think this is what I was afraid of. The man said, we are resting here while waiting for the coming of the Lord. See? We are resting here while waiting for the coming of the Lord. And there he writes, Revelation 11, 3 to 12. Waiting, what is Revelation 11? The ministers of Moses and Elijah. And in here is page 229. There is 227 on that paragraph upward, the one I read in the book in Spanish. He writes, Paradise, the sixth dimension. There they are waiting for the coming of the Lord. And he also writes, from 18 to 21 years of age. I replied, I want to see him. He said, you can't see him just yet, but he's coming soon. And when he does, he will come to you first, and you will be judged according to the gospel you have preached, and we will be your subjects. And there he continues, narrating all of that. Now notice here where we stopped on the Book of the Seals, page 311, he says, notice now, he comes with the resurrected saints, and he writes Moses and Elijah, vindicating that his word is true. Then he writes, message. In that previous paragraph, he also writes, ambassador from heaven. And in the blue, he also wrote, the ambassador of the kingdom of Christ, of God. In parentheses, the ambassador of the kingdom of Christ of God. So Satan knows then the bottomless pit is ready for him. See? Oh my. While Death rode the pale horse, mixed creeds and denomination, that's where he rode them to eternal separation. Christ rode his church right into glory in the resurrection. Notice verse 8 now. While we're closing, power was given unto them. Who is them? See, all right, Antichrist called death. Hell followed. Watch his four-point scheme. And he numbers them in Roman numerals. 1. Antichrist, white horse, kills by spirit, being Antichrist, spiritual kill. 2. Red horse, kills by sword, political power, when church and state united. 3. Black horse, souls, when he give out his doctrine, and she did there with her fornications, and he waited out their food, by a soul there, what they give for food, for a balance, and the pennies, and so forth. 4. A pale horse. 4. A pale horse. Eternal separation from God. Again, 4. See? Oh my, praise be to God. But will you give me about 10 more minutes? I got so many calls today about me speaking here. There had been so much fanaticism start out about Elijah, till that just, it's hammered to death. And you can, just may God help me to help you to see what I'm looking at. Will you? Let's just try to see. And there he writes about fanatism. The fanatism about Elijah. Now, our brother William continues saying here, and now, just as Christ overcame the devil in heaven, in his first coming he also overcome him, and he will overcome him at this end time. And those who are with Christ, who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, overcome the devil through the blood of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. And now, having a clear picture of who the devil is and who Christ is the firstborn of God, and he also is the only begotten of God. But the devil has wanted to take away that birthright blessing from Christ, but he hasn't been able to. But the devil has waged war. He waged war against Christ and against the heavenly host of Christ to try to cut away the principality, because that birthright blessing contains the right to rule the entire universe, including the earth. In a writing, he writes there in this Bible study, he writes, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of the Antichrist. Remember in Matthew 4, where we find that Jesus was tempted. Matthew 4, let us see. Matthew 4, verse 8. Look, it says, again, the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Notice, he showed him the kingdoms of this world, which we see in Revelation chapter 15, or Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, where it says, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ." In other words, the kingdoms of this world will come to be the kingdoms of the original owner. Revelation 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Now here in this writing he writes, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of the Antichrist, of which that writing where he wrote, kingdom and throne of Michael and kingdom and throne of Lucifer. They are the two who have a kingdom and throne. In Gabriel's he writes kingdom. Now. And here he writes, he continues writing, he writes, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of the Antichrist, he writes, two kings and two kingdoms can't reign at the same time. Now, our brother William continues to say here, and the king who has the birthright is the one that has all the rights to be the king of heavens and earth, and for God to manifest himself through him, and so that God through that person, through that king, may rule the entire universe, because God is the king of the universe. But he has established that he will rule in the millennium and in the eternity through a king. And he has to be a king who has the birthright. And Christ is that king who has the birthright. Therefore, he has the right to be the king of heavens and earth. Because the one who has the birthright is the heir. And therefore, he is the one who will rule heavens and earth. He is the one who would sit on the Father's throne, and therefore, he will be the instrument in which God, the Heavenly Father, would be, and he would rule the whole universe through him. Here's another writing. In a Bible study, where he writes there, two princes and two kingdoms to rule creation. And at the bottom, the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the covenant, the angel of the Lord, the devil, the angel of death, of knowledge of good and evil. Those two archangels. Now notice that they cannot be both to rule creation. In this message of the 70th week of Daniel, in this book, he tells us, now remember, let us see here, I had another place where he wrote, before reading here, let us have this one here as well. In this other Bible study, he also wrote to us, he writes, Adam, Christ, the tree of eternal life, Eve, the church, the serpent, below it, the devil, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, of death. The devil was made flesh in the serpent and reproduced himself through the woman, Eve. She was designed in such a way, like Lucifer there in between parentheses, that she could bring life from Adam or from the serpent, from whoever got to her first. She would have the firstborn and would form a people who would rule. Now remember that Adam did not wait for that tree to become flesh. And this one also, there on the side. On this study that we read, the first one, he also wrote there, the devil was made flesh in the serpent and reproduced itself through Eve. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the serpent equals the devil. Adam equals Christ, the tree of life. Christ had to be made flesh in Adam. And notice further down, remember these are the two spirits, they began back then. Here he writes, Antichrist, Cain the beast, Abel, Christ the church bride. And further down he writes, Esau, Rome, denomination, Jacob, Israel, the church. Notice, those two lines are always together. Now, let's go here to the book of the 70 weeks of Daniel. On page 55. Page 55. Let us see. 55. He tells us, now, let's not take what some men said. Now, there is not a scripture to prove that. So, how could I take that? Well, let's find out what really is the sealing up. Watch. He comes to do that, to seal up the vision and the prophecy. And he writes, to fulfill the second coming of the Lord. How is the vision and the prophecy sealed? By fulfilling the second coming of the Lord. Now let's just turn right back to the book of Daniel where we was at. Over in the book of Daniel, we will find out just what it said. Now let's turn to Daniel, the 12th chapter. Now, as we get to Daniel, now we can begin and read when you go home. I want you to read from the first verse on. Let's just read from the first verse down to the fourth. At that time, Michael shall stand, the great prince which will stand for the children of thy people. Now, this is at the end time, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since. The nation, that's when the Antichrist, this first seal writer, he writes on the side, 666, goes forth when he takes place, even until this time. Not in the time that when Titus took the walls of Jerusalem. That was only at one place. Watch, when this Antichrist, that prince that was to come, watch when he comes, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that's found written in the book. And there on the left side he writes, 144,000. Hallelujah, thy people Israel shall be written in a book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contentment. How in the world could that have been when Titus took the walls of Jerusalem? How could it have been? It couldn't be. See? He is speaking of the end time at the resurrection. Is that right? Now. And there he writes, the resurrection. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn away, that turn many to righteousness, the stars forever. Listen, here it is, the real, true sealing. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book, even to the time of the end. What is it? Oh, hallelujah, do you see it, class? This revelation of Jesus Christ, and of his power, of his coming, of the end time, was sealed up until this time. That's what he come to do. It's hid from the scholars. No wonder they want to apply, sealing it up, back yonder, to no profits and everything way back. And he writes there on the side, the seal, and he writes seventh. That is the seventh seal of the coming of the Messiah. The seal seventh of the coming of the Messiah. It won't hold water, but the vision, this vision, has been sealed till right here now. And there is where I'm placing my faith, that God will reveal them 70 weeks. Amen. Seal it up, he said, till the end time. Close up the words and seal the book until the end time. There in that paragraph is where he wrote the seal seventh of the coming of the Messiah. What did he do? To seal up the vision and the prophecy. Daniel had prophesied these things. He saw it in a vision. And the angel come down to seal the vision and to seal the prophecy. They can read it, but can't understand it until the end time. The end time. What is the end time? The end of the 70th week. When that prince, Antichrist, will be revealed at that time, making himself God. And he writes, the end time, the end of the 70th week, on the right side. There he also wrote on the left side, when it's sealed, equals, they can read it, but they can't understand it. Like the seventh seal. When it was spoken in the way that Brother Branham spoke it, the book of the seals, the seventh seal, where he says that the Holy Spirit told him, stop, go no further. And he says that there are things that would not be spoken until he comes, around page 577. And everything the church was going to need to know regarding his coming. Notice, they can read all that, but while it was sealed, no one could understand what it was. They could imagine things or interpret. But when God then fulfills it, there is when you see what it was, what was in that seal. How do we know this is sealed up to the time? Daniel just got through. This is the last chapter of Daniel. Sister Simpton told me this afternoon, she said, Brother Branham, I read the entire book of Daniel. I just didn't know no more when I stopped, got through, than I did when I started. Here it is, Sister Simpson. If you're here tonight, I believe I see her sitting over there. I never said nothing in the trailer. I held my peace, because I thought maybe I'd get to it. But the vision that Daniel had saw down there by the river was sealed up until the end time. Let me go ahead and read it here, see? But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the end time. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two, one on one side of the river, and one on the other side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Now listen. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, that he shall be for a time, time and a half time. Three dots. Now we get right exactly. Time, time, and a half time. Now, you watch when we get in Daniel's 70 weeks, how that comes out. That's when the mystery is going to be revealed. All right. Time, time, and half time. And when he personal pronoun now, the Antichrist, shall accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. That's when he breaks his covenant in the middle of the week. all these things shall be fulfilled. Amen. And he writes on the left, the covenant with the Jews in the middle of the week. He wrote this on the left side. All these things shall be fulfilled. Amen. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed unto the time of the... And the congregation says, end. Oh, don't forget that. Unto the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. The end time message shall reveal it. The last church age. And there he writes, the end time of the 70th week. The message of Revelation 11. Glory, there you are. Oh my, it shakes me to think of it. The mystery. The things that the church world bats their eye and says, it's nonsense. The mystery of who Jesus Christ was. Not on the third person, not the second person, not the third person, but the person of God. All these other mysteries of God will be revealed, because it's wrote here in this book, and be revealed to the end time generation. And on the right, he draws a pyramid, and he writes, generation. That is the age of the cornerstone. They can no more see it in seminaries and schools and denominations than the Jews could see Jesus being the Messiah. No wonder they try to think you're crazy. No wonder they think you're foolish. No wonder they can't understand why you don't clock up with them. Because there is a power and a vision behind it. A word of God that's been revealed to get the church in order. And he writes Revelation 4:1. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages. In order for the rapture and the going home. Yes, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase, certainly. Now, what is another thing that would be known? Look at today at the churches. Here it is. I hope it don't hurt, but I got to tell it. In that day there will be an Antichrist rise. And he writes 666. Now remember, when we get in the seals, that Antichrist rides right out over those seals. Daniel spoke of it here. The prince that would come, he will be cut off, Jesus would, to make reconciliation for the people. But that prince that would stand up, that would cause the abomination to make desolation, that was Rome through Titus. And this time, it's a prince coming out of Rome, will do it. And he will be revealed in the last day. Now listen, making himself God, as the Holy Ghost warns us in 2 Thessalonians, the second. Let's just go to it. 2 Thessalonians, and then you'll have not my word, but God's word. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter and the 12th verse. Let's see 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter and the 12th verse. Let's begin above that, the 7th verse. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. This is Paul speaking by the Holy Ghost. Only he whom now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Who is he here? Does anybody know? The Holy Ghost. He that letteth. And then shall the wicked one be revealed. When? Just at the time the Holy Spirit is being taken out, which is fixing to leave right now. What is he leaving for? Taking the church with him. Revealed. Paul speaking under the inspiration. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The wicked one, of course. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. We are the greatest church. We have this, we have this. All of you consolidated together, see? We are the greatest. Lying wonders. And with all of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not of the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God sent them strong disillusion, that they should believe a lie, and that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but has pleasure in unrighteousness. That was the case of Micaiah, where he was allowed in this same message, Micaiah tells us there, we will see it in today's message, because notice, there is a part where he says, a prophet can't contradict what another prophet had already said by the word of God. Therefore, the one who truly had the word of God was Micaiah. You are going to listen to it shortly. Now, he continues to say, do you get it? Oh my. Now, Paul speaking, the time when the seal of God is being made known, his spirit, his name, his grace, all these other great mysteries that's going forth now, plans for his church to go in the rapture, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost has done this. That's what he's done in the last days. And he writes, the rapturing faith, the seventh seal, and the name. And he also writes on the right, when the seal of God is being made known. In other words, the seventh seal. Now, he goes on to say on this message, God cannot change preached on July 10th, 2003 in Cali, Colombia. He tells us, and now we are in the sharpened age. Remember that the Antichrist in every age of the past also worked against Christ and his church and made his imitations to try to make them, the Antichrist and his people, seem like the true church of the Lord and like the true group of God. So there is a part where, in the words to the bride, he tells us there about that poison that goes through the church. He says, don't take part in that. Don't be part of that. He preached that in the message. Christ is the mystery of God revealed, of which Brother William told us, keep it in your Bibles as a bookmark. And notice, there he tells us, in a little part there. Now do you remember that? The enemy will come. And when he does, just cling that much closer together. And the one that the devil is using for an enemy will either get out or come in and be one of you. That's all. Let us see which part speaks about in the next paragraph. If the brother you think he's a little wrong, or the sister say, Lord, don't let me never have the root of bitterness spring up, because it'll affect him and he'll take Christ right out of my life. That poison acid of malice and jealousy and hatred that will just take the Holy Spirit right away from you. It will run him from the tabernacle here. It'll kill the Spirit of God, or drive it away from here, hurt your pastor. It'll do everything, see? Don't you do that. You just wax that much close together. Draw up. Take the buckle. As the brother testified, a minister here the other night, about having a buckle, seeing it in a vision, just that buckles of the whole armor of God. Just pull her on. Tighten up. Move right up close to one another. Love one another anyhow. Talk nice about one another. Say nice things about one another, and then God will bless you. Now notice. It's the first paragraph as well. He mentions something there. Love one another above everything. Love one another. No matter what the devil tries to say. And you may say, but how is one going to hear the devil? Well, through his instruments, human beings as well. Now you're all one great big sweet group now. But remember my warning. See, Satan won't let that stay that way. No, sir. He'll shoot everything. If he has to bring someone in to make his target, he'll bring some critic or unbeliever in and sit him down and cause him to fellowship with you under the quietness and things. And then he'll shoot that guy with some kind of a poison stuff and he'll start through the church with it. Don't you take sides with it. Don't you have nothing to do with anything else. You stay right loving and sweet and kind to one another. And there, what we have already read. But notice, that warning which the Holy Spirit gave us there through our brother Branham. He continues to say, remember that the Antichrist in every age of the past also worked against Christ and His church and made His imitations to try to make them, the Antichrist and His people, seem like the true church of the Lord and like the true group of God. In the book of quotations, paragraph. Let us see here is page 43. Paragraph 349, it says, every revival produces a pair of twins. One is a spiritual man, the other one is a natural man of the earth. I joined the church, I'm just as good as anybody. And that's what this revival produced. That's what every revival. And he writes there, every revival produces twins, Abel and Cain, Jacob and Esau, David and Saul, Jesus and Judas, Christ and the beast. The Antichrist. I'll repeat it again. Every revival produces twins. Abel and Cain. Jacob and Esau. David and Saul. Jesus and Judas. Christ and the beast. The Antichrist. And under that paragraph he writes, further down, he writes, Christ, the Antichrist. And further down, revivals bring forth twins. Now, he keeps on saying, now, in the sharpened age, which is the age of the cornerstone, on one hand, the devil will be with his own, and the time will come when the devil will be fully incarnate in the man of sin, in the Antichrist, and he will be the beast. But on the other hand, Christ has promised something very important here, and we will read it. It says on page 405 in the Book of the Seals. So let us just go there to that page to see the scripture that Brother William is going to read. where he wrote to us there. It says, Brother William reads that portion, and just about the time the Antichrist moves himself fully on the scene, God moves himself fully on to redeem it all. See, just run, just right together. And they're both side by side, Cain and Abel, the crow and the dove on the ark, Judas and Jesus. And when it says God moves himself, he writes with Moses and Elijah, himself fully on to redeem it all, he writes to transform us. And also right there on the side, God will come in his fullness in Moses and Elijah to redeem us, to transform us. Now notice, also in this message, which he preached, titled, My Pastoral Advice, January 27, 1980, he says, those who tried to take Moses' place had problems with God. Those who tried to take the place of each messenger at each age had problems with God. And we must understand that the fourth Elijah says that every revival is followed by a wave of madness. And that is why all the ministers and all the brethren have to be very careful when there is a blessing from God. Because then, just as God has freedom to manifest himself, according to God's law, the enemy also has his freedom to manifest himself. Because when Judas came, when Jesus came, Judas came. When Moses came, Jane and Jambres came. And Datan and Korah came. In other words, whenever the Spirit of God comes to manifest himself, the Spirit of the Antichrist, the devil's spirit, comes to interrupt the work of God. And whoever allows himself to be taken by an evil spirit then runs the risk of being the instrument of an evil spirit to interrupt God's plan. And if he does not realize on time that an evil spirit has overtaken him to act, to interfere with the work of God, then he will continue to add error upon error, false revelation upon false revelation, which will never be in agreement with the message that the messenger of that dispensation will be bringing. And then, why would one then bring revelation if one is not chosen to bring it? Because then, he will be making a service to God outside of God's will, which has always brought death. He brought death in the time of David, and he brings spiritual death in these times in which we are living. Therefore, I have known of all those problems that have been in the midst of the people of God, but I have always given the pastoral advice that I have to give, so that they do not continue bringing things that God has not given for age or dispensation. And I give this advice today as well. Notice, what did he tell us? That a revival would come for the church in a great tent cathedral. And he even told us what to do. The only thing left for him was to say, well, he told us everything. Tune in to the tent, even to accompany the devotional. But some are so hard-headed that not even him telling them, since they always stumble over the veil of flesh. Nope, it can't be that way. It's according to the way I'm thinking it is. And there, they take a lot of people with them who are also blind. And my recommendation has always been to wait, to hold on, that if you want to know about a subject, then pray to God, so that God then makes it known according to the order that he has established. Which is the order that God has established in each age and in each dispensation? Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing without first revealing his secrets unto his servants, his prophets. That is the form. That is the way. And if he makes it known according to the order he has established, then one will not walk back after it has been revealed. Let me read it again. And if he makes it known according to the order he has established, then one will not walk backwards after it has been revealed. But if we walk without the revelation coming according to the way in which God said He would bring it, then we must walk backwards all the time, and then move forward in something else, and then backward. And we will never reach our destination. So we will always be, how? Confused. Believing one thing today and tomorrow saying, I was wrong. We have to fix this, because I was wrong. Or if I do not want to recognize that I was wrong, then I'll say, well, I believe it this way, and I won't give in. As we read on Friday in an excerpt, where Brother William says, out of pride, then they would rather say, no, it is because what is happening there is wrong. The one that is wrong, the person saying, the one that is wrong is the forerunner or the one he foreshadowed. And then they cast aside the revelation that was brought by the forerunner or by the one foreshadowed. And then they implant their own revelation, and God will not be in that. And since God won't be there, then they have tremendous problems with God. And the people of God who are under that ministry will have tremendous problems under that ministry which is being used by that spirit of error, which are ministers. They allow themselves to be used by those spirits of error, lying spirits, because the devil, since he's a liar, he turns those people into liars as well. Our brother William continues to say in the message, God cannot change. And now let us also see on page 168 in the Book of the Seals, where it also tells us about the same thing, and tells it the following way. The last paragraph says, and at the same time that the devil falls out of heaven and becomes incarnate in a man, the Holy Spirit goes up and comes down, incarnate man. There is on that page 168, there is where he writes, the Holy Spirit incarnate in a man. Now, notice also here, in a writing of a Bible study, he says, he writes there, let us see this Bible study. Is the one for today. I prepared this one for him here. Notice. These Bible studies, we could not even imagine that we were preparing them for ourselves. Make a copy for me and make one for yourself. And the same Bible study that we studied to give him, for he preached us that important message. Notice. He would leave it with annotations and everything. And we are now enjoying those studies, where there is a lot of revelation there, which was to be given at the time under the tent. There he writes, to inherit the throne of God in heaven, and the throne of Christ, the throne of David, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, equals became incarnate in Jesus and will be made flesh again. And under that he writes, to inherit the throne of Satan, the Spirit of the Antichrist, equals became flesh in Judas, like in the ancient serpent, and he will be made flesh in the man of sin, in the Antichrist. Now, on this one, notice. Let us continue a little further on. Because here, let us read it. We might as well. In the message, the third Exodus, there on page 40, it tells us, when Peter was in prison, the pillar of fire came in, opened the doors, and took him on the outside. That's right. Where did that pillar of fire lead them? Now remember, Moses was not the pillar of fire. He was the anointed leader under that pillar of fire. And the pillar of fire only vindicated his message with signs and wonders. Then he writes, the anointed leader with the pillar of fire, anointed. And that pillar of fire led them to the land that God promised them, where he himself would be made flesh among them someday. And he writes, made flesh. That is, that pillar of fire that led them would become flesh someday in the midst of the Hebrew people, where the first coming of the Lord was fulfilled. That's right. What did they do? Murmured and squirmed and everything else, to show it was under the blood of an ordinary lamb. But this time, glory to God, the pillar that we see among us, the pillar of fire, will lead us to the millennium, where he will return to his people in that great millennium reign after this Exodus, where we will live eternally with him. He always had the word of the Father, always proves that it's right. Now, our brother William continues to say here, in the message, God cannot change, he says, and now, in the group of the tares, the sons of the wicked one, the devil will become incarnate in a man, and that man will be the man of sin, the false prophet, the Antichrist, and he will become the beast, the devil incarnate in a man, which that man will be the head of the tares, that is the head of the people of the tares, the head of the children of the wicked one. But the Holy Spirit is promised to become incarnate at the last day as well. And the reading that we read says, and at the same time that this devil falls out of heaven and becomes incarnate in a man, the Holy Spirit goes up and comes down incarnate man. Also in the book of the seals, on page 290, there he tells us, and now he is against the word, so he be Antichrist. But a spirit cannot be crowned. That's the reason he didn't receive a crown, just a bow with no arrows. And then when he came, the crown in time, then he became the false prophet of his Antichrist teaching. Get it? And there he writes, a spirit cannot be crowned. Then he gets a sword, because he unites his power together. Then he don't have to ask nobody. He is a governor of state. He is governor of heaven. Receive a triple crown. Makes himself an idea called purgatory, where if some of them died back there and they got some money, want to pay them out, he could pray them out of it, because he's got the power to do so. He's a vicar. Certainly he is. He takes the place of God on earth. There he writes, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 8. If that ain't as plain as anything, we find it, pull it on down through the Bible and count his numeral numbers and everything else. Here he is, right back here in number 4. Not number 3, number 4, see? Now, let's turn Revelation 12, the 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Now, you see, he was cast out of the earth and becomes incarnate, as the Antichrist spirit becomes incarnate into a man. That man changes from one thing to another, from an Antichrist spirit to a false prophet, and then the beast comes into him. Just exactly like the church grows, his church went from Antichrist to false prophet, and in the greatest age to come, and there he draws an arrow and a cornerstone and the ages, and in the great age to come, the beast that is to rise up, So the church comes the same way through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is Christ being in the people just exactly? Now he continues to say, in other words, there will be two men on earth at this end time, in whom the two major spirits will be incarnate. The devil will be incarnate in one, and the Holy Spirit will be incarnate in the other. Also on page 154 in the Book of the Seals, it says, notice, when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost, becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, let's see on page 307. Remember that if He's going to be incarnate, then He must be in a body of flesh. If He has to be incarnate, then He has to be in a body of what? Of flesh. And if He's going to be incarnate, it must be in a man. It is crystal clear. Or as they say in Puerto Rico, it is clearer than a rooster's crow. Page 307 says, but when our Lord appears here on earth, He'll be riding on a snow-white horse, and He'll be completely, fully the Emmanuel, the Word of God incarnate in a man. And notice on page 4b of the Book of Quotations what it tells us there. Paragraph 41. If He is the same, He's got to be everything the same except the corporal body. Now that body, when it comes, time shall be no more. It is God in Morphe, changing masks. How many knows that? Yes, when Jesus comes in His literal body, but He comes now in the form of the Holy Ghost. And He writes above, the coming of the Lord in a physical body. Time shall be no more. He continues saying, and on page, Brother William is reading all those portions. And on page 151, it says, the first paragraph says, and Jesus, His name on earth was Redeemer, Jesus, when He was on earth. He was the Redeemer, that's true. But when He conquered death and hell, He overcome them and ascended on high. He received a new name. That's the reason you holler the way they do, and they don't get nothing. He'll be revealed in the thunders. See? Notice the mysteries. He is coming riding. There's got to be something to change this church. You know that. There's got to be something. No man knows but Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treaded the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And He had on His vesture, on His thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:13-16. There comes the Messiah, there He is. And now, the white horse rider of Revelation 19 comes with a sword, and He comes to rule. There in that scripture it says, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And now, we have seen that the Reverend William Branham is the forerunner of the one whose way He's preparing. And now, he says that that passage, Christ coming on a white horse, will be the coming of the Word incarnate in a man. And now, the sword will be then seen in a man, the sword which is the Word, the sword that comes out of His mouth. The Reverend William Branham, speaking in the Book of the Seals, page 558, he says while praying, let's read it there. And I pray that you'll help me, page 558 in the Book of the Seals, and I pray that you'll help me to let me be true, Lord, and honest and sincere, that I might be able to bear the message as far as it's ordained for me to bear. And when it comes to the time that I must lay down, and I get down to the river, and the waves begin to come in, oh God, may I be able to hand this old sword over to somebody else that'll be honest with it. Lord, and will pack the truth. And there he writes, in that last sentence that I read, Moses and Elijah, the angel of Jesus. And also in this book, there he wrote, the king's sword, handed over to somebody else, and two question marks. Our brother William continues to say, and wasn't the white horse rider of Revelation the one who, with the sword that comes out of his mouth, will do those things? It is because this sword will be given to the overcomer. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of the potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And now, these prophecies, notice, they must then become flesh for their fulfillment. And then we will be seeing the fulfillment of those prophecies. The Word must become flesh, and that will be the white horse rider of Revelation 19, the Word. The Word made flesh in a man. And then it also says, and I will give him the morning star. The morning star is Christ, who in Revelation 22, verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Christ will give him the morning star. In other words, that overcomer will receive Christ in his second coming, and Christ will manifest himself through him. He will have the bright and morning star, and Christ will manifest his power through him. Through him, the two-edged sword of the Word will be manifested. This is so because God cannot change. In other words, God cannot change the way he does it, through a veil of flesh. On page 214, on the Book of the Seals, he tells us, now watch, what did Jesus say? He that takes the sword, all right, red horse rider, here to where she is coming, he that takes the sword, you might have killed 68 millions of them down through these ages. Since then, maybe more. But Jesus said, he that takes the sword will perish by it. Watch. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Hebrews, the fourth chapter, said, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting even to the marrow of the bone. And what does it, the word, do? It's a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged, a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treaded the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his tie a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:11-16. As the impostors against the word of God, and because they wouldn't agree, and this thing Satan placed, united the political powers which he held, and the spiritual power which he held, together, and made a church that sweeps into every nation. And he has put millions times millions after he jumped off from his white horse onto his red horse, and he took his sword and went forth. But God said, with the same thing that he perverted or tried to by a false teaching, that same sword will rise in power, coming forth from the lips of Jesus Christ. Notice, by the spoken word, and shall slay him, and everything before him. Amen. There is the second seal. And he writes there on the side, the sword of the devil equals the dogmas. He continues saying, if the word was in the mouth of Paul, because he's saying, this is so, because God cannot change. If the word was in the mouth of Paul and of each one of the angel messengers up to the Reverend William Branham. Now, the Reverend William Branham says, grant me to be honest, sincere and true, and bear the message as far as I must bear it. And then when the waves come in, let me hand this sword over to somebody else who will take the message. See? He had written it. Let's see if I brought it. Where? He wrote to us that someone else would come. If you have it there, you should. Let me see if I have it here. Here it is. Someone else comes after me. He wrote that. And he also wrote, how can I hand this sword over to someone else who will pack the truth? Now notice, each messenger in each age was, he went from one to the other, to the other, to the other. And look what Brother Branham says. And here Brother William is quoting it to us. And he says, but the one who hands it over is Christ, the Holy Spirit, who handed it over to each messenger. It has been going from messenger to messenger. And at this end time, it will be in that messenger that Christ will have in his church, in the stage of the age of the cornerstone, the glorious stage of the Church of Jesus Christ, the golden age. And in a message, in a study he writes, temporary peace will come, and when they say peace and safety, and he writes, through human treaties, sudden destruction will come, says Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-10. Everlasting permanent peace will be announced by Elijah and will be established by the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, a man who will come anointed with the Holy Spirit. And he writes, he will be born on earth and will be a Jew. He wrote that above his writing. That is the Prince of Peace, who will destroy the Antichrist and will establish his kingdom with his capital in Jerusalem, which will be the kingdom of David restored, and on the throne of David, the Messiah. For Judaism, for Christianity and Islam, it will be Jesus coming, destroying the Antichrist, and establishing his kingdom and bringing peace and happiness. He wrote all of this in this Bible study. Now notice, our brother William continues saying here, the kingdom of the Gentiles came down from the golden head until it reached the feet of iron and clay. The Church of Jesus Christ has been ascending from the stage of the feet until reaching the stage of the golden head of the kingdom of Christ, the age of the head, which is the age of the cornerstone. We have seen in several points there the subject, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Antichrist. Let us stand. And thus, we leave with us in this subject I don't know if we have a song. We can sing a hymn. If you have it there, a hymn that the song director, Jose Guillermo, may have for us to sing. While he gets here, notice, at this little part here, I think we have read it on one occasion, in this message, questions and answers, there's a part here where he speaks about that Indian chief. He was there at one of the prayer campaigns or activities, services, and they were handing out the prayer cards. And he says, well, so you may can understand of how he's speaking about and why, he says, I remember one in Phoenix, Arizona. Billy was going down to give our prayer cards, and he would just stand there and give out prayer cards. and then people that's able to run up there and grab the prayer cards. Wow. The well people really, that is, the people who is well, actually healthy, had a headache, toothache, or something wrong with their toe, they got the prayer cards. Brother Rotto. And when they did, then in a prayer line, the only thing I got, somebody with a headache. Somebody had something wrong with toe, and something like that. And there was people sitting there dying with cancer and things that didn't get the prayer line. I said, Billy, go down there and ask those people what's wrong with them. And if they haven't got cancer or some horrible disease or something that's going to kill them, don't give them prayer cards. Get them people up there in that prayer line that's ready to die, if not help from the Lord. Let them others just wait. Those that have headaches and something like that, well, let them wait. Give the prayer cards to those who are dying, diseases that are terminal diseases. But let them people that's ready to die, I said, ask them. He said, well, you said, just shuffle up the cards and give it to them. That's what I was doing. I said, but you're getting them people run up there ahead of them, and they get them poor cripples and things can't get them. All right, I'll do it, said Billy. He goes down. There was an old Indian, and they're very odd. He wouldn't sit down in a chair. They give him a chair, but he sat down on the floor in the tent. He had a hat on. He wouldn't take it off. He had a feather sticking in the back of it, just sitting there. Billy walked up to him and he passed by and he said, do you want to pray a card? He said, what's wrong with you, chief? He said, me sick. He said, but what's wrong with you? He said, me sick. He said, but I want to know what's wrong with you. He said, me sick. That's all he could get out of him. Said, all right, I'll be back after a while. So Billy went along asking people. The old Indian kept watching them prayer cards getting thinner and thinner. Every time he'd draw them out of his pocket, they were a little bit thinner. So after a while, the old Indian got up and walk over and tap Billy on the back to remind him he was in this too. He said, chief. He said, chief, what's wrong with you? Billy Paul said to him. He said, me sick. He said, well, chief, you have to tell me. Daddy said not to give these cards to the people that just had a tummy ache and headaches and things. Give them to people that was real sick. Said, how sick are you, chief? He said, me sick. He sat down again, and before his card was really about gone. A couple of minutes, he kept watching them cards. He come back and tapped him again. He held out his hand. Billy put the card on his hand, said, chief, go right on there. Me sick. He got in the prayer line. I was praying for him. And I said, do you believe, chief? He said, that's right. And I said, well, you believe that God will heal you? He said, that's right. I said, you be a good boy? He said, that's right. I met him about a week later. Brother Fred Southman, I believe, was there. It was when the tent meeting was going on. It was Phoenix. And I met him a little later on in the week, and I said, are you doing all right, chief? He said, that's right. Come to find out, I talked to, what was the missionary's name up there, that old man with a white mustache, up there to the Apaches? I can't think of his name. Oh, he's a fine old fellow. His wife was healed of cancer, you know. He said, Brother Branham, that's all that he can say. Said, I thought him to say, me sick. That's the only thing he could say. That's right. So that's about it. You see? That's right. Me sick. Somebody told me he had one time was converted, received the Holy Ghost. And he said to him, "How are you getting along?" This one could speak a little better. And he said, "Pretty good and pretty bad." He said, "Well, how do you mean pretty bad and pretty good?" He said, "Well, since me received the Holy Ghost," he said, let's read it as it is. He said, "Well, since me received the Holy Ghost," he said, "there's been two dogs in me, and one of them a black dog, and one of them a white dog." And said, "They argue all the time." Said, "They growl and fight at one another." And said, "The white dog wants me to do good, and the black dog wants me to do bad." Said, "Well, chief, which one of them wins the fight?" Said, "That depends on which one chief feeds the most." So, I think that's a good answer here, see? There just depends on the wearing of the body that's in you. It depends on which one you cater to, which nature you cater to, the carnal nature after the things of the world, or the spiritual nature after the things of God. That does it. And he writes, Brother William writes there, the white dog, the spiritual nature, the theophanic spirit of the sixth dimension, the black dog, the carnal nature, the spirit of the world of the fifth dimension. What a beautiful teaching, which we had read it on another occasion, but it went well with this part at the end here, so that you may have it there. So go ahead, Jose Guillermo, with the hymn that you have prepared. Let us sing Psalm 103. Let us invite Ruth to be there as well and give that little touch there with her voice also. But you can keep playing. And in that way, we are in this stillness. You can keep playing the piano. And in this way, His presence settles well here in our midst, in our hearts. May the Holy Spirit work in each soul, in each heart. It is the pillar of fire, my brethren, in the midst of His people today. Believe this psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul, YHWH, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. May we be more and more rejuvenated every time. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Antichrist. Thus we immediately leave with us our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.